Well, we're continuing our series on the Ten Commandments. And we come to the fourth commandment today. Let me just read that to you, going back to Exodus chapter 20, starting at verse 8. Here's what it says. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. I read about a pastor who had a church in Canada, and his log cabin where he lived was quite a way up the hill, and he had one of those sort of 4x4 jeeps, so usually he could get down to the little church by the river at the bottom of the hill. But on one particular day, some weather came, bad weather, that he just wasn't prepared for, and just totally, everything was frozen up, feet of snow, even the river was totally iced over. Well, he looked at his car and he thought, well, even with my Jeep, I'm just not going to get to church today. And he looked at his watch and he could imagine all the people and the elders beginning to leave their homes and go to church dutifully because they all lived on the flat. It wasn't a problem for him. Then he came up with an idea. He had a pair of ice skates. So he thought, why don't I just put my ice skates on and go down the river? I can go downhill, skate to the church, almost straight in through the front doors. So that's what he did. He strapped his ice skates on, and he started at halfway up the river, and down he came. Sure, it took him right to the very entrance of the church. The snag is that as he appeared on his skates, the eldership of the church were just about to go in through the front door. And they saw him on these ice skates, and they were shocked and most indignant. Pastor, they called out, you have broken the fourth commandment regarding the Sabbath by skating. But, said the pastor, I was just trying to get to church. Yes, said the elders. But were you enjoying skating? No, said the pastor. Oh, they said, that's all right then. But certainly in the past, the Christian attitude towards the Sabbath has been seen as something, well, a bit of a killjoy attitude. The Sabbath is not a day for having fun and enjoying life. In 17th century Scotland, one poor man was taken to court for smiling on the Sabbath. Have you ever wondered why some ice creams are called sundaes? Some say that it's because around 1875, the leaders of the town of Evanston in Illinois passed a law forbidding the sale of ice cream sodas on a Sunday. So some enterprising person devised a plan for selling ice cream covered with syrup instead of mixing it with soda water. This new dish became so popular that people began asking for a sundae. When people objected to a dessert being named after the Lord's Day, they changed the spelling to Sunday, S-U-N-D-A-E, and that's what it's been called ever since. That may be true. That may not be true. But the fact is that when people hear that, they think, yeah, that's typically what Christians think about the Sabbath, and probably think it could be true. And history has presented a lot of different attitudes towards what is right and what is wrong to do on the Sabbath. After the original commandment, the religious leaders over the centuries managed to add 1,521 extra appendages, extra little rules to help show what you could and couldn't do on the Sabbath. For example, If a man found that a flea got on his arm and started biting him, he wasn't allowed to do that to it. Because if he did that to it, that would constitute hunting on the Sabbath. That's probably why, I don't know if you noticed, if you read through the Ten Commandments, but when we get to this one, it takes up a lot more space in our Bibles. It's the longest and most expanded of all the Ten Commandments, presumably because it was hard for people to get their heads around. And it still is today, especially with all the complexities of modern city life. Now, in the past, some people have looked at it as being actually quite simple. It's very simple what it's saying. You mustn't do any sort of work on Sunday. Full stop. Probably most of us have seen that wonderful film, Chariots of Fire, where the Christian runner, Eric Liddell, refused to run the 200-meter race in the Olympic Games in Paris because the heats were on Sunday. He wouldn't do it for his career. He wouldn't even do it for his country's honour, because for him, nothing could come above honouring the Lord his God. So he did the 400 metres instead, and the Lord honoured him, and he won that. So is this commandment then as simple as that? Primarily about a particular day of the week and not doing anything on it apart from going to church? Well, if we're saying that, that would mean that doctors, nurses, policemen, firemen, bus, train, taxi drivers, pilots, news and weather people, TV stations, broadband, mobile phone and landline providers, electricity and gas providers, the AA and RAC, petrol station attendants, none of them should work on a Sunday. So where would that leave us? Or a Saturday? Because the truth is, in Bible times, it wasn't a Sunday, was it? The Sabbath was a Saturday. I remember when I were a lad, all the main shops were closed on Sundays, even when I was little. And then we had the Sunday trading law challenging that. And then we had the, anyone remember the Keep Sunday Special campaign? We had that challenging that. And now, all the main shops are open. So Sunday has moved from being a holy day, set apart, being different from all the other days of the week, to being more of a family day. And then to being more of a leisure day. And then to being, finally, a hunt round for the best bargain in the shops kind of day. There's been a progression in how it's been in viewed. And of course, the last one, hunting around for the best bargains in the shop kind of a day, of course, means that some people are required to work on it. So where does that leave us then? Are we saying that it's actually unkeepable? Are we saying it's not practical? We can't have the electricity go off on a Sunday, can we? Should we even try to keep it? Well, if we were just to get that fourth commandment about the Sabbath and rip it up and throw it away, the snag is that that could mean then people would try and justify ripping up and throwing some of the others away, or making them dependent upon the cultural situation or the setting. Or perhaps not taking the Sabbath one so seriously, only obeying it sometimes when convenient. But of course that would mean then, well, is it okay to only obey the others sometimes? Well, I only murder occasionally. So what does this fourth commandment really mean for us today? Is it about a strict legalism that is to be imposed? Or is it more about an attitude of our hearts? Well, where do we go? Surely the best place, the best person to ask about this is Jesus. That's why I had that reading from the New Testament read. You see, in New Testament times, when Jesus was on his earthly ministry here, the religious leaders of the day would pretty much say no to anything on the Sabbath. And even if God himself were to show up on the Sabbath, under no circumstances was he to heal anyone. Which is, of course, why they said what they said to Jesus when he did. Jesus put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Verse 14, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. How dare God do what he wants to do in church? Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. The synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." It's unbelievable, isn't it? Jesus challenged them. Verse 17, when he said all this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things that he was doing. You see, what Jesus said and did regarding the Sabbath, firstly, it delighted people and it caused them to praise God all the more. And secondly, it challenged the petty rules and regulations that the religious leaders of the time were trying to impose. And of course, as you know, nowadays you've got churches actually having special services of healing on a Sunday. And likewise, are delighted when people are healed. So do we need to make a distinction between what's actually commanded and what is merely cultural, what was merely cultural at the time? This morning, I think what we need to do is to get under the surface of this commandment and see what it's saying at its very heart. What's it saying at its heart? It's not about, I think, skating and not bashing fleas on the head. It's about something more than that. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. That's the commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Now that little word remember can often just be a quick mental act. Oh, do you remember the time we went to that restaurant in London? Oh yes, I remember it. It can be that, can't it? Remember. Here it means more than that. When the Bible says that God remembered this, when he remembered, it's followed by him doing something. It's action. Remembering calls for action. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Hold it as a present and continuing priority. Hold it as a present and continuing priority. That's remembering. What are we remembering? We're remembering the Sabbath. Well, the Sabbath is not a day, it's not a word even, that we use very much, is it? You don't say to someone, I quite fancy seeing that new film. Should we go on the Sabbath? You know, you just don't use it, do you? So what does it mean? Well, it comes from a verb, and the root of that verb probably means something like to stop or to cease. That's its very basic meaning. But it has its roots going right back into creation, where it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. That's the link that the fourth commandment makes in Exodus chapter 20. It links the Sabbath with creation and God resting. So what does it mean then that God rested? Well, it means that God stepped back from his creative activity, and he reflected on what he'd done. And the Bible says he saw that it was very good. He rested from his work of creation because it was completed. But he didn't rest from his work of sustaining what he created, did he? Or else it would have all collapsed, wouldn't it? Because he is the one who sustains the world and the universe and everything in it. So what it doesn't mean is a rest of total inactivity. Because I put it to you that that is not what God did when he rested on the seventh day. He continued his sustaining work. Therefore, for the people of God, what does it mean? Well, if we look at it, even at the times of Moses, it meant a stepping back, a stopping in order to reflect and celebrate the God who sustains the world, who saved them from the hands of the Egyptians, the delivering God of salvation. It meant a continual coming back to what really mattered in the life of the people of God. And it was regular, and it was a priority. One day a week was given over specifically to doing this. That was the Sabbath. That's what it was for. And that's what everything they did in it pointed to. So let's jump forward in time now. A few thousand years to each of our busy and full lives in Bristol. Working, bringing up kids, doing exams, and all that stuff. Is this still needed? Is it still important or not? To regularly stop to take our spiritual bearings, to focus on God, who he is, and how much he loves us, what he's done for us, his creation, his salvation. Surely the answer must be yes today, more than ever. Because we are to remember. That's what the Sabbath commandment is about. It's about remembering. We are to remember who God is and what he's done. To draw back and reflect on that. To refocus our priorities, to thank him, to worship him, to come to him for refreshment and for spiritual renewal. And I put it to you, today more than ever, with the busyness and complexity of each of our lives, if we don't make a regular time to do this, God will surely get crowded out of our lives and we'll forget. We will fail to remember. And that's breaking the fourth commandment. So, we remember and cement this into the fabric of our lives by doing something. By making a certain regular time, holy, different, set apart for God and for him alone, where our focus is uniquely on him. How does that work then? If you're a doctor or a nurse on call and you've got to work Sundays, how does it work? What if, as is the case today with lots of folk, what if the weekend is the only time you can ever get to see your father and your mother? You may feel that actually, by keeping the fourth commandment, you're actually breaking the fifth. On your father and mother. What about that? Well, it doesn't have to be a Sunday, does it? Sounds dreadfully simple. But to do all the things that we've unpacked the fourth commandment as telling us to do, the remembering, the resting. That doesn't have to be on a Sunday. I don't think this commandment is particularly about Sundays. Well, I know it's not particularly about Sundays because they weren't special in biblical times, were they? It was Saturdays. So, my friends, we've got to get beyond a legalistic approach just for the sake of it. We've got to get beyond that and see that all that God does and says is actually, it's only ever for our benefit to bless us. Which is why Jesus says in Mark 2:27, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. That's what Jesus said. Later on in his life, Eric Liddell went on to the mission field in China, where he actually ended up in a Japanese prisoner of war camp. Now, there were lots of young guys there with absolutely nothing to do. And so he got involved in sports activities for them. And guess what day they did them on? You guessed it. Sunday. They particularly asked for him to referee the hockey matches because he could be relied on to be fair and just and honest. How honouring to God is that? I think that restricting the idea of the Sabbath to just one day of the week, I think by doing that, we've actually restricted the idea of entering into God's rest. The rest of Genesis 2. Let me just explain briefly what I mean by that. God completed his work of creation. And on the seventh day, and seven is God's number. It's a number of completion, a number of perfection. If you read through the Bible and you see seven, that's generally what that means and the multiples of it. We're told he rested. What it doesn't say is on the eighth day, he started work again. Does anyone have that in their Bibles? You won't, because it's not there. What does that tell me? That tells me that God remains in his period of rest. That the goal of creation is rest. And so as we look on through the pages of Scripture, it seems that we as the people of God are invited to enter into that rest. That continuing, ongoing rest. So much more than just one day a week. So if you turn to Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, we've got a link made between the rest spoken about in Genesis chapter 2 and the rest that's spoken about in Psalm 95 verses 7 to 11. And what that says is that going and entering into God's rest is about much more than just entering into the promised land in the time of Joshua, which of course they didn't do first time round because of their disobedience. See, according to the writer of Hebrews, and do have a look at all this, Hebrews chapter 3 and especially Hebrews chapter 4, it talks about God's rest. According to the writer of the Hebrews, God's promise of us entering into his rest, it still stands today. So through faith and obedience, we can enter into God's rest, his kingdom, his living presence, and remain there for all eternity. Can you see how restrictive it becomes if you think about it's just about going to church on Sunday and not playing football? I mean, that's just so diminishing, actually, what God actually has for us. It really is. It's so restrictive. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter into that rest. See how big it is. So it's about so much more than just one day of the week. Yet it does still need to be remembered and celebrated and honoured regularly. Hebrews 4, chapter 1 says this, therefore, let us fear. Doesn't say that in the NIV, but it does say it, believe me. Therefore, let us fear. While a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. So God does mind about this. He really does mind about it. That's why he put it in the Ten Commandments, to show us not only that it was important for him, but it's important and crucial for us. So we've got to ask ourselves the question. And you work out in your own lives whether this is about Sunday or about more than that. The question is this, that we have to ask ourselves, how am I going to keep that fourth commandment? With all the complexities of my life and city life and what's going on for me. Well, I can't do it on a Sunday. Okay, but how are you going to do it then? That's the question. How are you going to do it? Today, as the Word of God puts it, we can all enter into his rest. That's a promise of God. Today is Sunday. But when we get to tomorrow, Monday, guess what? It will be today, won't it? Just think of it. Monday, the living God will be inviting you and me, through faith and obedience, to enter into his rest. I wonder how we're going to respond to that.